Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see you this evening. Appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. One thing needed to add to the announcements, and I forgot to tell Dr. Hunt this, Miss Gloria Crook is not with us tonight. She was taken to the emergency room this afternoon. Was having some difficulty, pain, some issues with her legs. She is back home now, but just asked that if you would to pray for her. I know that she would appreciate that very much. Just wanted to make you aware, and I appreciate Dr. Hunt announcing that, about the website. The audio for the sermons throughout the gospel meeting are up on there. If you're someone who uses your phone to listen to things, you can get on the website from your phone and then can play the audio on that. And of course, if you want to see the whole thing, you can get on Facebook, and there's the video from the live stream is archived there on Facebook. So lots of different ways to watch those. If you are unable to be here, if you want to re-listen to one of those, well, then you have those options available to you. Diligence is defined as persevering determination to perform a task. If we're going to be successful in life, if we're going to be successful in so many different avenues of this life, it's going to take diligence. We must be willing to work hard in order to reach the goals that we set in this life, and obviously to reach that ultimate goal of an eternity in heaven. Concerning diligence, Leroy Brownlow wrote these words. He said, "Diligence is that industrious trait which is always attentive, always active, which stands opposed to indifference, carelessness, and laziness." You know, the difference between and the comparison between diligence and carelessness is illustrated very well in the story of the tortoise and the hare. You remember the hare, that rabbit, he was a very swift animal. And as these two ran a race against one another, he would run for a while and then he would lay down to rest and to relax, because in his mind, the race was his. There was no way possible that he could ever be defeated by that slow tortoise. Because that tortoise, he was a very slow animal. But he possessed this characteristic of diligence. The tortoise constantly moved toward the finish line, never giving up, continuously working towards that ultimate goal. And his hard work, his determination, his diligence paid off, because it resulted in his victory over that careless hare. Those who give diligence, those who are determined to work hard, are those who are rewarded. The Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 said, "But without faith it is impossible to please him," him being God, "for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." If we're going to be pleasing to God, then we must diligently seek him. And tonight I want us to notice three areas in our Bible where diligence is required. Three ways in which we can and we should, and really we must, diligently seek him. Number one tonight, we need to give diligence to guarantee. We need to give diligence to guarantee. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, Peter writes, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Peter there talks about giving diligence to make our call and our election sure. He's talking there about salvation. The fact that you and I must be diligent to make sure that our salvation is sure. Now the question becomes then, how do we do that? How do we give diligence to make sure that we are saved? Number one, we need to study. If we're going to give diligence to make sure that we are saved, then friends, we need to study. When we study our Bibles, we read in that what it takes in order to become a Christian. And we don't want to take any individual's word for it. We don't want to listen to someone what they think we should do. We need to turn to God's Word. We need to open it for ourselves. We need to study within its pages and see what the God of heaven says that we must do. When we study our Bibles, we find that in order for one to become a Christian, they must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus said in John 8:24, "Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. That statement there by Jesus echoes back to Exodus chapter 3. You recall Moses, as he stood there at the burning bush, he asked God, "Who do I say sent me?" And God's reply was, "You tell them I am has sent you." Jesus, by saying, "Unless you believe that I am," he was saying, "Unless you believe that I'm God, that I am deity, to you, that I'm God in the flesh." We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God if we want to be saved. The Bible goes on to say that we must repent. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Acts 17:30, "In the times of this ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." We must confess that belief in Jesus, just as the Ethiopian nobleman did in Acts chapter 8. He asked Philip, after they had been studying about Jesus, he said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the eunuch responded, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then based on that confession, as the eunuch was, so we must be, baptized. Acts 22:16, as Paul is recalling for those who had gathered there, the process of his conversion, speaking of Ananias, he said to Paul, "And why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Friends, we need to study to find out what it is that we must do in order to be saved if we are going to be diligent to make sure of our salvation. But secondly, we must obey those things that we find. You know, it does me no good to spend time in a study of God's Word and I find what God says I must do in order to receive salvation, but then I say, "You know what, I'm not going to do that." If I want to make my call and election sure, if I want to be sure of my salvation, then I must obey what God has said to do. You know, if we receive a prescription for some sickness, it does us no good to sit there and set that prescription on the counter and once a day go over to it and look at it for 15 minutes. It's not going to get us any better, is it? No, we have to read the prescription, see what it says to do with that medicine, and then do it. God has given us a prescription for the sickness of sin. But it does us no good simply to read that prescription. We must do what it says. If I want to make my calling and election sure, if I want to guarantee my salvation, I must study, I must obey, and then thirdly, I need to study some more. Becoming a Christian is just the start. I tell everyone that I'm privileged to baptize that this is just the beginning point. Becoming a Christian is the starting line. It's not the finish line. And so if I'm going to make sure of my salvation, if I'm going to guarantee that salvation, I need to continue to study, to learn what it takes in order to be faithful. And then fourthly, and you've probably already guessed it, I need to obey. You know, there are things since I was baptized at the age of 12. I will be 39 at the end of this week on Friday. And so quick math, 27 years that I've been a Christian. You know, in those 27 years, there are things that I thought were okay that I now realize are not okay. There are some things that I thought were not okay that I realize now are okay. Over that time, I have grown. I have learned more. And as a result, when I learn things that, hey, I'm doing this and the Bible says I shouldn't be, then I need to change. I need to continue to obey if I want to guarantee my salvation. Connected to that, though, is our second point. We need to give diligence to grow. We need to give diligence to grow. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Peter writes, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, the brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once we become a Christian, we need to give diligence to grow as a Christian. If someone was to have a child here, and the 1 year birthday of that child came about, and that child was still exactly the same size that it was when it came out of the womb, would anyone here be concerned? We would be concerned, wouldn't we? That's not normal. A child, once it's born, it's supposed to grow. If Harrison now at age 6 was the same size that he was when he was born, we would be concerned. Even if he was the same size he was at age 5 to age 6, there would be a level of concern. Because we understand that children are to grow. Now when we become our age, we still continue to grow. Sometimes we grow outward instead of upward. But we understand that this growing, it's supposed to take place. It's a process. And when we become a child of God, when we become a Christian, when we are born again, brethren, we should grow. If looking at yourself spiritually right now, you see no difference from where you are today than you were a year ago, something is wrong. If you can look at yourself and look back 5 years and you see no difference in yourself from 5 years ago, something is very wrong. Paul here says that we need to give all diligence to add these things to our faith. Why? Because they're necessary for growth. It's what Paul's talking about, or excuse me, not Paul, but Peter is talking about here in 2 Peter 1, 5-8. He's talking about growing and that we need to give all diligence to do that. He says to add to your faith virtue. We don't use the word virtue as much as we once did, and especially not the way that it's used here. It's a word that means courage, valor. You know, it takes courage to live the Christian life. The Christian life, in many respects, runs exactly counter to what the world would tell us. It is, if you will, a countercultural religion. It runs opposite many times of what culture is doing. It takes courage to do that. And that's why Peter says, add to your faith courage. To courage, knowledge. This knowledge will help to make sure that courage is going in the right direction. You know, it's good to be courageous, but just to be courageous with no understanding of what way that courage needs to be directed is not a good thing. So we add to that courage knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. You know, knowledge is good, but self-control will help us to temper that knowledge. It's kind of like the difference between knowledge and wisdom. You've heard that, what the difference between those two is, haven't you? Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. That's knowledge and wisdom. This self-control will help to temper that knowledge so that we use it wisely. And then we have the word perseverance or patience. We need patience to live the Christian life. Another word that might have been used here, steadfastness. The ability to stand under the pressures of this life. To that we add godliness. The word godliness simply means to act in a godly manner. And that should definitely be what all Christians are striving to do. To that brotherly kindness, a genuine concern for our fellow Christians. When one hurts, all should hurt. When one rejoices, all should rejoice. God's church is described as a body. I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to swing a hammer at nails in years past, but have you ever missed and caught maybe a thumb or an index finger? the whole body hurts, right? We're the body. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. There's to be that element of brotherly kindness. And then, finally, to that love. You know, it's amazing to me, the more times you see these lists of different things that Christians possess, while some things differ and some things change, you know something that is constant in all of those lists? Love. It's always there. It's like the glue that holds it all together. And Christians, if we're going to grow, then we must have love. Now, I'll be the first to say, adding all those things, that's not going to be easy. Peter knew that. That's why he said, give diligence to grow. Number three, thirdly and finally, give diligence to guard. Give diligence to guard. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, Solomon says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep. The word keep means to guard. Literally, it means above all keeping, keep the heart. Solomon says, above everything that you're going to guard, that you're going to keep, the heart is the most important. What is the heart? He's not speaking of this physical organ right here that beats and pumps blood throughout the body. When the Bible speaks of the heart, it's speaking of the mind. And so Solomon is saying, above all, keep the mind. Watch the things that enter the mind. Why is that? Solomon says, because out of the mind spring the issues of life. The things that enter our minds become thoughts. Those thoughts become actions, and by our actions we will be judged. That's why it's so important that we guard our minds. And by doing that, we'll be guarding our souls. And Solomon says something that this is something that we must be give diligence to doing. Y'all, Satan is trying in every way possible to throw as much junk in there as he can. Solomon knew that would happen. That's why he said, give all diligence to do this. To keep your heart, guard your heart, your mind with all diligence. I want everyone in here to go to heaven. I want us one day to have a glad reunion. I don't know how it all works, but maybe we can section off a section that says Ripley Church of Christ and we can just all meet over there. I want us all to be there. But brethren, if we're going to be there, we've got to give all diligence. We need to give all diligence to guarantee our salvation, to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to be doing in order to be faithful to God. We need to give all diligence to grow, to become stronger and stronger as children of God. And then we need to give all diligence to guard our hearts, our minds from all that Satan throws in our way. To sum it really all up in this, we need to give all diligence to be faithful Christians. And so I ask you tonight, are you a faithful Christian? Obviously, in order to be a faithful Christian, you must first be a Christian. And that comes through obedience to the Word of God. As we talked about earlier, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, turning from sin and repentance, confessing that belief before men, and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. I know looking out that most in here have done that. Are you giving all diligence to remain faithful? Friend, if Satan's knocked you off track, make a change tonight. There is no reason to leave here. Among those who love you, who care for you, who want to spend eternity with you, there's no reason to leave here not in a right relationship with God. Let's all be diligent. That way we can all spend eternity in heaven. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd encourage you to do that right now as we stand and sing.